Gospel according to Luke, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things began to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you might have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Christ. You may be seated. Do I have any children who want to come forward? Oh, goody. You're all going to be my children today. I have one little problem. I need to go this direction for just a moment. I'm going to leave my sheep here in my stead, okay? Is that all right with you?
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't introduced you to my sheep yet. I never gave him a name. Somehow, the preschoolers never decided to name him. And he's going to stand right here. He's going to guard over this. That. For just a moment. Let's leave him in charge and see what happens. Is because we're told in the gospel that there will be signs that will tell us that Jesus is near. All around us we have signs that tell us things, right? Before you come into this church, there's a sign that says this is St. Luke's Lutheran Church. That way you know that you're not at the other St. Luke's in town, right? Which is also a church, just not the one you might be looking for. There's an exit sign so that you know that that's the way out. There are signs there and here that tell you what hymns we're supposed to be singing. There is a cross. There is the depiction of Jesus there at the garden. There are all sorts of things that tell you that this is a church. Jesus is telling us we need to be aware of signs that tell us not necessarily what building we're in, but that he is coming near. That Jesus is coming near. This is Advent. It's the beginning of the liturgical year. It is a season of expectant waiting and preparation for the coming of Christ. This name was adopted from the Latin word adventus, which means coming or arrival. It anticipates the coming of Christ from three different perspectives: the physical birth in Bethlehem, the reception of Christ in the heart of every believer, and a second coming at the eschaton, the end of time. Our lectionary readings for Advent focus on all of these ways that Christ comes to us. In many ways, they are also signs. So let's look at our gospel lesson from the 21st chapter of Luke. This is part of a larger discourse by Jesus in which he predicts the destruction of the temple and Jerusalem, which did take place in the year 70. We heard a similar lesson a couple of weeks ago from the Gospel of Mark. These are apocalyptic readings. The word apocalypse, despite what the media seems to say, it does not mean death and destruction. Instead, it means uncovering or revealing. Jesus is revealing something about himself, about believers, and about the end times in this lesson. At the heart of it is Jesus' statement that when cosmic signs begin, when the seas roar, when people are fainting from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, when believers see Jesus coming in a cloud with power and great glory, they are to stand up and raise their heads because their redemption is drawing near. Not their destruction, their redemption. Jesus tells a parable about the fig tree and all trees, how when you see them sprouting leaves, you know that summer is near. He says when they see all of these things taking place, they will know that the kingdom of God is near. In Luke's gospel, repeated references is made to this generation, by which he means those people who resist God and God's purpose. Until Christ comes again, people will continue to oppose God. Jesus offers these words of promise: heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Now let us turn to our first reading from the prophet Jeremiah. He writes of a day when there will be a new king descended from David, one who rules in justice and righteousness and ushers in a time of salvation for Judah and peace for Jerusalem. At the time of this writing, the nation was in chaos, overrun by the king of Babylon and his armies. God is promising that he will make a new covenant with his people. Even though they rebel against God, God is still faithful to them. God will cause a branch to spring up, just as a shoot can spring up from a dead stump. Even a dead dynasty can be restored. This branch does not spring up by itself. Instead, it is God who causes it to spring up. God, whose act of regeneration is a sign of God's faithfulness, even when God's people fail to keep their part of the covenant. God's faithfulness is at the very heart of our psalm today, Psalm 25. It is because God is faithful that the psalmist can place his trust in God. He asks God, "Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you I have trusted all the day. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting. All your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness to those who keep your covenant and your testimonies." We can pray these words along with the psalmist, knowing that we can trust God to lead us in the way in which we should go. And in our lesson from 1 Thessalonians, we read, "And may the Lord so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints." Which brings us back to our lesson from Luke and the challenge that is offered to us at Advent. Our world is in chaos. Wildfires, floods, earthquakes, and other natural disasters. A pandemic with a virus that continues to mutate. Places where Christianity seemed entrenched are now mission fields as more and more people claim to have lost faith in God. Some see these things as portents of the end times, but we know that no one knows when that day will come. Jesus tells us to be alert, to hear his voice amid all the tumult of the world, to stand up and lift our heads, secure in the knowledge that if we believe and trust in his word, which will never pass away. He will not lead us astray. Christ will come again, and the whole world will be transformed. Advent offers us a time to pause in the busyness of our lives and ask how we can prepare our hearts for all the ways that he comes to us, not just as a baby in Bethlehem, not just as a righteous branch of David coming at the end of the age, but also as he comes to us each moment and asks us to follow him. How is God calling you to be alert, to see how God is making all things new? That is the challenge I give you for Advent. And now back to my sheep. Why in the world do I have a sheep with me today? The reason is that he is holding on to something, and I want each one of you to take one. In this new liturgical year, we are reading from the Gospel of Luke, primarily. So what I'm urging you to do is to really start looking at that gospel and to do something that I started doing when I was a child, and that is to memorize a piece of scripture. So what my sheep is holding on to here are little slips of blue paper that contain one verse from our gospel today. Just one verse, and it's a fairly easy verse. So I'm asking that you visit my sheep sometime after the service and pick up one of those blue slips of paper and use that as your meditation for this week. See if you can memorize it. It's a simple verse, and we'll have another one for you next week. Think of it as a way that you can prepare your hearts for Jesus coming in all the ways that Jesus comes to us. Amen. Let us now join together in our hymn of the day. Each winter, as the year grows older, it is number 252. Let us join together in confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In this season of watching and waiting, let us pray for all people and places that yearn for God's presence. God of presence and peace, strengthen your church around the globe to proclaim the message of your love coming to the world. Open our hearts to recognize your faith in all people and in all of creation. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of mighty redwoods and microscopic plants, fields and city parks, the wind and the waves, be a healing balm to our wounded planet. May we nurture what you have lovingly created. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of equity and compassion, bring righteousness and goodness to all peoples of the earth. Give a heart of discernment and integrity to leaders in our communities. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of comfort and care, be present with those who watch and wait. Come to all who await births, deaths, divorces, new unions, new jobs, retirements, healing, and life transitions of every kind, especially Janelle and Corey Nicant. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of promises kept and new dreams awakened, shelter your people from destructive storms. We pray for those whose lives have been upended by natural disasters, for the work of Lutheran Disaster Response, Lutheran World Relief, and other relief organizations. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of companionship and community, we give you thanks for the saints who journeyed with us and now abide in you. Even in distress and uncertainty, make us confident that your promises endure forever. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. And at this time, we bring before our God those things that are on our minds and hearts, whether spoken aloud or left in the quietness of our hearts. And for Dick as he continues to heal. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of new life, you come among us in the places we least expect. Receive these prayers and those of our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of peace. We thank you for sending in your offering to the church or giving through online banking. Let us now join together in our offertory. We give thee but thine own. It is number 686.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give
Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Holy God, we long for your spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth.
Come, Holy Spirit.
All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate. Power of the Most High, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You are all invited to partake of communion.
Body of Christ given for you.
Let us pray. God, for whom we wait, it is you who give us the fortress to that day when the hungry will be done for good things. Send us forth to make known your deeds and to proclaim the greatness of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please stand as you are able for the blessing. The God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The God of all grace bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Let us join together in our sending song, Christ Be Our Light. It is number 715.
use.
Thanks be to God.